John, take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John. It's kind of easy to find the book of 3 John. Turn right in your Bibles to the very end and then look left a little bit and there would be 3 John. Amen. If you're not careful, you might just pass right by it. In my Bible, it's just on one page. So we're going to look at 3 John, a couple of verses in just a minute or two. Back in the day, there was a preacher by the name of A.T. Robertson, and he wrote an article in a Baptist newspaper, and he described the conduct of Diotrephes. 25 deacons from various Baptist churches all across the nation wrote to the editor canceling their subscriptions, and they contended that A.T. Robertson was writing just about them. It would seem to be that A.T. Robertson must have hit a nerve amongst a few of those Baptist deacons. As everyone knows, that leadership of a church can be either a great blessing or it can be a grievous burden. I've heard of and have known men who are excellent leaders inside the local New Testament church. There are men who love God and they understood their role and were a great help to their church and to their pastor. And they served the Lord in and through the local New Testament church in a praiseworthy and a very productive manner. These men no doubt held a special place in the heart of God, in the heart of the church, and no doubt in the heart of the pastor as well. On the other hand, I have known a few, and if you'll just please excuse me for just a moment, that probably should have been removed from their offices inside the local New Testament church, if not possibly the entire church body. They caused nothing but heartache and trouble and bringing schisms and division inside the local New Testament church. I discovered something very early on in my years of ministry, and not only ministry, but when I first got my first job. I worked at a seafood restaurant, and I worked my way up from a bus, busing tables, all the way up to the dish room, from the dish room to prep. From prep, I began to be an assembler on the line that expediter would call out what needed to go on the plates, and I would assemble it. I graduated from that, believe it or not, to the fry man. I was the fry man. I liked that job, amen. Maybe it wasn't always right, but it probably wasn't right, but when you all would order an order of shrimp, I'd always put one more in for the cook, amen. That's the way I saw it. It's a pretty worthy thing to do. I don't know if the boss really liked it or not. I moved from that, from the fryer, then I moved to the oven where we would bake things like stuffed flounder and I would broil your steaks and things like that. And then I graduated all the way up to the expediter, who was the one that would get the ticket off the line and call out what it needed to be. If you ever watched any of those chef shows on TV, you kind of know what that person does. And I kind of worked all my way up from the very early stages of being a busboy to what it was being. From that very first job, I discovered this, that not everybody should be a manager. Not everybody that has the title manager on there should really be a manager. Inside the local New Testament church, everyone that's sometimes called a leader really should not be a leader. And I've known some great men that were, once they were put in charge of a leadership position inside the local New Testament church, they changed completely. Let me say this, and it generally is not for the good. It became a totally different person. The truth is that some men, and also ladies as well, can't handle being a leader. It ruins them. You say, well, Pastor Dave, how does it ruin them? Well, leadership oftentimes goes to the head and not to the heart where God intended it to be. If you want to be a leader and that leadership goes to your head, I'm telling you what, you'll be in for a great amount of trouble. We find here in the book of 3 John, a man by the name Diotrephes, whose leadership that he took reins of that local New Testament church, it did not go to his heart, it went to his head. And most of the time, the reason that it goes to their head and not their heart is because they realize, hey, I have a position of power. And oftentimes, and even including in the local New Testament church, the positions of deacon or trustee or Sunday school director or something like that really is not a position of power. It's a position of our heart. And so as we continue to get better acquainted with people of the Bible, as we did last year, I want us to look at a man by the name of Diotrephes. A.W. Tozer said this, Bible characters fall into four different categories. There's those who are great but not good, those who are good but not great, those who are neither good nor great, and those who are both great and good. I want you to understand as we look at Diotrephes' life this evening that Diotrephes was neither good nor great. He's only mentioned once in the entire New Testament, and all that's said about him is contained here in these three verses that we're going to read as our text verse in just a few moments. But having said that, understand this. All we need to know about Diotrephes is written for us here in these three verses. There are a couple of different ideas, or shall we say theories, about what Diotrephes' position was in the church. There's some Bible scholars that say he was the bishop or the pastors. Others suggest that he was a deacon, or still others yet promote this idea that he was a prominent layman inside the local New Testament church. Whatever he was, he certainly was not a pastor or a deacon or a church member by any shake of standards that the Bible expects these people to be in testimony of the local New Testament church. And by the way, we see as Paul begins to talk about Diotrephes, he basically does this in this passage. He calls them out. He names names. He points fingers and said, listen, Diotrephes was a man that we do not want to emulate. He is wrong. He is bad. And he loves the preeminence. And by the way, Paul also makes this statement. He says that when I come, I'm going to personally take care of this and handle this in a very public way. You know, there's some times when matters need to be taken in hand immediately. Sometimes they have to be done in public. Sometimes they can be done behind the scenes, and that's how God leads. But Paul says that, listen, this Diotrephes is a man that we need to deal with, and we need to deal with it publicly. And when and if I get there, I'm going to deal with it as well. He was one of those ones who needed to be removed from their leadership position. Diotrephes' leadership position went to his head and moved from his heart to his head. And he needed to be removed possibly from the New Testament church from which he belonged with. Warren Wiersbe, who's gone to be with the Lord now, writes this. At the judgment seat of Christ, we will discover how many hearts have been broken and churches destroyed because of the arrogant, get this word now, ministries of people just like Diotrephes. I've personally seen by my own eyes and my own ears, and I've heard of churches that were destroyed because of people just like we're going to see here at Diotrephes. I'm talking about good churches. I'm talking about churches that soul win, churches that give the mission, missions and grace giving. They have Christ-centered ministries, and they have God-honoring ministries. Diotrephes is certainly not a New Testament person that we want to copy in our own personal life. But it's worth for you and I to look at Diotrephes' life this evening and learn from them. I'm reminded of what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11. He says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So let's look at this leader who allowed the power to go to their head. Let's stand as to give respect to the reading of God's word. Let's just read a couple of verses in the book of 1 John, beginning of verse number 9 down through verse number 11, as we think about Diotrephes, the man who let power go to his head. Notice what the Bible says. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Let me just stop here and say this. Some Bible scholars seem to believe that he's speaking, and I personally believe it's partly the case that he wouldn't receive if Paul came there, or the fellow missionaries or the apostles or disciples that was sent there. Other Bible scholars say that is true as well, but also makes reference to this letter that was written. And verse 10 says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil shall not see God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. We thank you, Father, that as far as I know, that this church does not have any Diotrephes in it. But Father, we all have heard of Diotrephes. We all heard testimony of churches that have fallen, churches that have been split, and problems have arose, and pastors have left, and people have resigned churches because of men and women just like Diotrephes. So, Father, as a way of preventive medicine this evening, Lord, I pray you'll be a help to us. Help us to understand that we need to turn from this kind of thought if we have these in our mind. So, Lord, we love you, we thank you, and give you praise and honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Notice, first of all, this evening, the arrogance that he displayed. The arrogance that Diotrephes displayed. Webster's Dictionary of 1828 defines arrogance as this: the act or quality of taking much upon oneself. The form of pride which consists in exorbitant claims of rank and dignity, estimation of power, or which exalts worth or importance of the person to an undue degree. So in other words, we find that Noah Webster says this, that arrogance is someone that lifts himself up above what they really have attained in this life. In verse number 9, John states this. He said, "I wrote unto the church." This letter of 3 John was a follow-up to a letter that he had previously had written. So whether Paul had formerly, whatever Paul had written to the former church about, it could have been 2 John, it could have been 1 John, it might have been the Gospel of John, or it might have been another letter that God didn't signify as canon, and we didn't make it as part of our Bible today. But whatever it was, it appears that Diotrephes has interfered, or perhaps even prevented its context from being received, heard, or followed by the local New Testament church. We see from verse number 1 that John is writing to a dear saint in the Lord by the name of Gaius, and he pulls no punches when he begins to speak about Diotrephes. In verse number 9, he speaks about the arrogance of Diotrephes has displayed toward John and the church, and perhaps as well as fellow missionaries and those disciples that might have came to there. I think of the words of Adam Clark when he said this: "He was doubtless an officer in the church, at least a deacon, probably a bishop, and being one, he magnified himself in his office. He loved such eminence and behaved himself naughtily in it." So in other words, we would say this, that Diotrephes was a power-hungry leader. And as we look closely at Diotrephes' life, notice, first of all, this evening, notice what he desired. John said that Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence among them. That word preeminence comes from two words that means to be fond of, and also, in addition, of being first. So Diotrephes not only wanted to be first, he loved to be first. He desired to be first. It speaks of being ambitious, wanting to be in charge. He desired to be in control. Diotrephes was one who wanted to be in charge of that local New Testament church. He wanted to be in control of that church. Whatever happened in the church, he wanted his finger in the middle of it. He loved the power. He claimed for himself, and he loved being in charge. In other words, he said, "I'm in charge. I am the man for this local New Testament church." You see, Diotrephes was a man who really only thought about himself and never thought about others. Compare and contrast that with men like John the Baptist, who said, "He must increase and I must decrease," in John 3 and verse number 30. Or how about the Apostle Paul proclaiming in Colossians 1 and verse number 18 that in all things he might receive preeminence. Diotrephes was just the opposite of Paul and opposite of John the Baptist. He said, "I must receive the preeminence. I must increase and you must decrease." Instead of having Christ preeminent inside that local New Testament church, Diotrephes desired that preeminence. He wanted to be first. He loved to be first. He made it his will and his mission to always be first. In my days since I trusted in Christ as my personal Savior. I've known a few men, and let me say this, ladies, who could strut while they sat down. They thought they were the pillars of the local New Testament church, and they viewed themselves as spiritual giants among weaklings and little people inside that church. As a matter of fact, they thought of themselves so highly that if a vacancy ever came in the Trinity, they would feel for sure that the Lord God Himself would nominate them to be part of the Trinity. You know the kind of person that I'm speaking about, and it doesn't have to be a man, it can be a lady as well. Sadly, these people that feel just like that oftentimes are some of the most spiritually immature people inside the local New Testament church. Oh, they give off pretenses that they're mature, but if you act like that, guess what? You are not mature, you are immature. They don't see themselves as being immature, but their discernment of spiritual things is always lacking, and it seems like it always goes against the grain of the real church leadership. Self-centeredness is the fruit of spiritual immaturity. Well, not only what he desired, but notice what he demanded. Albert Barnes writes this in his commentary. He said, "The presumption from the phrase, who loveth to have the preeminence, would rather seem to be that he was an aspiring man, arrogating rights which he had not, and assuming authority to which he was not entitled to by virtue of any office given inside the local New Testament church." He not only loved to be first, it would appear that he insisted to be first. And not only to be first, but also to be in charge. The Bible said in Colossians 1 and verse number 18 that Christ is the head of the body, the church. The Lord Jesus is the one who's in charge inside the local New Testament church. And I agree with Lehman Strauss, who said that Diotrephes was actually trampling underfoot the truth of the headship of Jesus Christ over the church. I know that there are church leaders who think they run the church. Deacons and trustees and other ministry leaders who believe that they run the church, and without them, the church would just crumble and fall. But the Bible never gives leaders that kind of role. And let me add, the pastor is not even the one who's in charge. The Lord Jesus is the one who was in charge of the local New Testament church. The pastor is the under-shepherd, and you are to follow him as the Apostle Paul says, as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who takes that kind of role upon himself, just like Diotrephes did, is assuming authority that is not theirs and it's not God-based. I even read that some people believe that Diotrephes was acting like a dictator. And I read that and I just snickered as I read commentaries about this passage. I heard people have called pastors before dictators. Perhaps you might have heard that as well. I'll just be honest with you. I've been called that on a number of occasions. And if you really know me, you'll find this out that I am not a dictator. In fact, I probably at some times need to be more of a dictator, so to speak, than I already am. And I think of this. Any pastor who's worth his weight in salt probably has been called a dictator by some spiritually blinded knothead somewhere inside the local New Testament church. So you can call me a dictator if you like, and I'm going to say amen, praise the Lord, because I know where my heart is. Whenever someone calls the pastor a dictator, it's usually for this reason, because they don't get their way and the church is not going in the direction they believe that it should be going in. I always found it a little ironic that someone would call a pastor a dictator, but they're the ones who wants to be in charge, and they're the ones that want to tell the pastor what direction and what things the church ought to be doing and not doing. It seems a little ironic to me, a dictator calling someone else a dictator. Warren Wiersbe said this, "Whenever a church has a resident dictator in its membership, there are bound to be problems, because people who are spiritually minded won't tolerate that kind of leadership." And that's the way that we ought to be as a body. You see, God does have a divine order and authority inside the local New Testament church. It begins with Him. And after the Lord Jesus Christ, it comes down to the under-shepherd, which is the pastor of the local New Testament church. And then it dwindles down from there. And so whenever a member like Diotrephes tries to assume authority that's not his, they push aside God's order of authority. And listen, when you push away God's order of authority inside a local New Testament church, there is always going to be problems inside the local New Testament church. Why? Because you're getting away from God's design and God's order inside the local New Testament church. And every case behind the actions of a Diotrephes is always this attitude of arrogance. I'm better than the pastor. I'm better than the deacons. I'm better than them. I know more than them. I'm more spiritually mature than them. Look at them. Look at me. I ought to be the one that makes some decisions around here. And even if they don't get to the point where they say, I ought to be making decisions, they press the issue so hard, it's as if they tell the leadership inside the local New Testament church that, listen, I'm right and you're wrong, and this is what you ought to do. So we see the arrogance that Diotrephes displayed, but then notice secondly, the attacks that he delivered. Diotrephes was just not content with being in charge. Now remember, he loved to be in charge. He desired to be in charge. He wanted to be in charge. But notice something else. He also attacked those who were a threat to him being in charge. And as we look closer, we'll see the kind of attacks that Diotrephes has made on those that were surrounding him. Notice, first of all, that we see that his attacks were deceptive attacks. Notice in verse number 10 of our text, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. So John speaks of how Diotrephes had attacked him personally. That word prating signifies this: to bring forward idle accusations, make empty charges, or to accuse one falsely with malicious words. That Greek verb comes from a root word, guess what? Indicating gossip. And it derives its meaning from the actions of water as it boils up, throwing off bubbles. And since the bubbles are empty and the bubbles are useless, this verb eventually came to mean the indulgence in empty or useless talk, or let me help you, gossip. That was the nature of Diotrephes' slander of John. It's also the same word translated tattler in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 13, referring to those who go around telling things about other people that are not necessarily true. Then we have this word malicious. Those words malicious speak of evil words that are intended to do harm or injury. So these aren't edifying words that we're commanded by Paul to speak to one another. These are words that are intended to tear down and destroy and do harm or injury. Warren Wiersbe says this: what Diotrephes was saying about John was sheer nonsense. But there are people who love to hear such talk and will believe it as they hear it. Apparently, Diotrephes had made these accusations against John at one of the church meetings, and John was not present to defend himself. You know, it never ceases to amaze me just how vicious Christians, so-called Christians, can be. In order to make themselves look good or to make themselves get the way that they think or the direction the church ought to be, guess what they do? They begin to gossip and talk about other people in leadership positions. They begin to attack other people. And I can hear them now, and I've heard it, you know, tens of times in my times of ministry. They say words like this: well, pastor, if you only knew about that person. And what were they doing? They're making insinuations in order to create doubt in the minds of the leadership, in the minds of other people. They might not come right out, but they'd say words like, well, if you knew what I knew, pastor, you wouldn't let him do that or let her do that. But sometimes they don't just give insinuations. Sometimes they just tell plain old-fashioned lies in order to hurt and bring someone else down. But understand this, of course, they never do it when the person is around. They never do when the person is there. And there's always a crowd of people that love to hear that kind of garbage. And guess what happens? They join right in and they spread the rumors and lies that were told to them by Diotrephes. And they're kind of like the ones David spoke about in Psalm 41 in verse 7. All that hate me whisper together against me. Do they devise my hurt? So David says, you know, they're whispering. I can hear the backbiting. I can hear the tattling. I can hear the vicious words that are spoken against me. I recently heard about a pastor who was voted out of his church, and it seemed that one of his staff members working behind the scene got some of the church members to turn against the pastor. And guess where it all started from? It all started from that assistant at the church and one of the deacons. And even after he left, when they would find out where this pastor had resigned his pulpit in his church, they would find out where he was going to preach at. They would call up people in that congregation if they knew him, call up people and speak bad about their pastor, trying to hurt, defame, and harm that one. Let me just say this. It was coming a payday for the Diotrephes in a local New Testament church that act like that and do something just as similar to that. Proverbs speaks of how God hates the lying tongue, how he hates a false witness that speaketh lies, how he that soweth discord among the brethren, and Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Listen, you want to get the air of God up against you? You want God's hand of judgment to come upon you? Have that lying tongue. Be a false witness that speaketh lies and sow discord among the brethren, and my friend, the judgment of God will be coming your way. I believe that when a faithful servant of God, now a faithful servant, but that I mean one who is not who might be gossiped about, but the truth is what was spoken about was not the truth. So when a faithful servant of God is attacked unjustly, God will ultimately exonerate that servant. And those who told the lies, guess what? They're going to reap what they have sowed according to God's word. Well, the attacks that he delivered were deceptive, but then notice something else. They were divisive. John says that Diotrephes, notice these next words, was not content therewith in trying to hurt John. It just wasn't good enough that he hurt John. He also wanted to hurt anybody in the church that defended John or challenged his behavior. And if you ever have been through a church split or problems inside a local New Testament church, you'll find Diotrephes will treat you the same way. So if you side on the side of right and stand with the church leadership, Diotrephes are going to turn against you, and they're going to try to gossip about you and talk about you, be divisive against you. We find that Diotrephes wanted to hurt anybody inside that local New Testament church that defended John or challenged Diotrephes' behavior in any way, shape, or form. Notice in verse number 10 we read, "Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbid them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Apparently, John had sent maybe some disciples, some other ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this church, and they were there, and they were not received by Diotrephes. Diotrephes was so determined on having his way that anyone in the church who disagreed with him, anyone that was sent by John or showed any respect for John, was attacked, and even went so far as to kick them out and remove them from that local New Testament church. He not only caused John heartache, but guess what? He created division inside the local New Testament church. And the Diotrephes inside that church could care less about the testimony of the church. Diotrephes could not care about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Diotrephes inside the local New Testament church don't care about seeing the church blessed by God, souls being saved, moving forward by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it's not really unusual in the day and age that we live in today to hear of divisions inside the local New Testament church because of people today just like Diotrephes. And in most cases, I would simply say this, the problem was a result of the people just like Diotrephes who had their own agenda. They wanted the preeminence. They wanted to be in charge. Well, we see the arrogance that Diotrephes displayed. We see the attacks that he delivered, but then notice, lastly, the authority he dismissed. You know, when you have a Diotrephes in the church, there's a deeper issue than just wanting to be first. The root cause of adiaphases inside the local New Testament church, it's always a spiritual problem. They may make pretenses and they may say something like this: well, I don't think we ought to have blue carpet, we ought to have red carpet. A lot of churches have red carpet, and that's the way we ought to have. Listen, that is not the root problem. Having three buses is not the root problem. Bringing in bus kids is not the root problem. The pastor is not the root problem. The root cause is always a spiritual problem deep inside Diotrephes themselves. It's been said this, and I believe it to be true, that the heart of the problem is always the problem of the heart. That's where the problem lies. It doesn't lie in anything we do or don't do, and what direction we're heading or not heading has nothing to do with the pastor, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, and all the ministries that we do. The heart of the problem is the problem of Diotrephes' heart. The behavior of Diotrephes was because he had a heart problem. Let me break it down to you. Not only was it a heart problem, the problem of the heart was sin deep inside of him. Notice that he had a defiant heart. Notice at the end of verse number 9, John says that Diotrephes received us not. So Diotrephes assumed an authority that was not his to have. He wasn't to have that kind of authority, but he injected himself and said, I'm the man, I'm going to be in charge, and I love to be in charge, and I'm going to be in charge. And he rejected Paul and the authority of the apostle himself. He was thinking that I'm in charge, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Even John, if he shows up himself, is not going to tell me what to do. I've known men just like Diotrephes, and they were so consumed with what they wanted. They were so consumed with the direction they thought the church ought to be going that they blatantly violated teachings and precepts inside the Word of God. They could care less what God said. They were going to have it their way no matter what the Bible said. In my opinion, if you're like that, or you know people like that, you're walking on dangerous ground when you're in rebellion against God and His Word, especially when that rebellion is motivated by a desire to have it your own way. I think the quickest way to see God remove His hand off a local New Testament church is to have God's order of authority inside that local New Testament church be violated by members who have only one desire, to have it their own way, like Burger King. And my friend, the first and final authority of any church is Christ Himself and the Word that He has given us. The authority of the church is not Robert's Rules of Order. And my last church where I pastored at, they lived and died by Robert's Rules of Order. I didn't even know what that was until I came to that church. We had a business meeting and somebody wanted to do something, and me being a young pastor, sounded good to me. It didn't seem to be wrong. I went along with it, and come to find out, everybody and their brother knew that I shouldn't allow this man to do that because it did not follow Robert's Rule of Order. So there I am in the library checking out Robert's Rule of Order to figure out the parliamentary procedures inside our local New Testament church, because our constitution describes we would follow Robert's Rules of Order. Eventually, before Amazon was there, I had to go to a bookstore and order this book, and it's still in the library, in the pastoral study library still today. I guess it is. But I suffice to say this, that the authority of the local New Testament church is not Robert's Rules of Order. And this might stump you, but let me help you. It's not even the church constitution. The Bible is the sole authority of our faith and practice inside the local New Testament church. When we let any man-made rules, whether they be Robert's Rules of Order or the Constitution, overrule the teaching of the Bible, we're treading on very, very serious grounds. Well, we find that he had a defiant heart, but then notice in verse number 11, he had a depraved heart. Notice in verse number 11 that John instructs the Christians to behave the opposite of Diotrephes. He says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. As John speaks and writes this letter, he calls for a different behavior. He also reveals the real problem that Diotrephes had. He probably really didn't know God. The phrase that's written there in our Bible, "hath not seen God," is used to speak about someone who has not and never has experienced salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3, in verse 16, John says this, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." He writes in the fourth chapter of the same book in verse 20, "If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" And that statement, "hath not seen God," reiterates the common theme that's found in the Johnine writings, and that behavior is a good indication of genuine faith. It's not the only indication, but it's a good indication of our genuine faith in Christ. So John questions the genuineness of Diotrephes' faith because he had, as obviously the Bible says, done evil, according to verse number 9, and verse number 10. The exegetical commentary on 3 John says this, "In Johnine terminology, it's clear that the phrase 'has not seen God' is equivalent to 'is not a genuine Christian.'" And you say, well, how can people act the way that they do, Pastor Dave? The simple fact of the matter is probably most of them never have really been saved, never have been born again. It's amazing what a good dose of Bible salvation will do to a Diotrephes, amen? He'll change his whole will, change his action, change his lifestyle. I believe that saved people will and should act differently. And those people who are always causing trouble inside the local New Testament church, outside the local New Testament church, lying to others, talking down about people, probably just need to receive Christ as their personal Savior. In closing, I want you to notice tonight that John states that if he has the opportunity to return, he'll take care of Diotrephes. Notice in verse 10, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth." Wasn't going to be like, when I get there, I'm never going to forget what he has done. He's saying, listen, if I have the opportunity to come, he said, I'm going to take care of the business with Diotrephes when I get there. People like Diotrephes cannot be tolerated inside the local New Testament church. And too many times, God's people don't stand up against Diotrephes. Listen, if you're right, you're right, and they're wrong. Stand up and be firm. Listen, there is nobody that's the pillar and foundation of the church that enters through those doors day in and day out. Everyone is important. Everyone has a special part. But listen, if they're acting like a Diotrephes, it's time for them to resign their position and walk out the door and go somewhere else. If anyone needs to be turned out of the church, it's Diotrephes. Sometimes a good house cleaning is in order. In my house, in the spring and in the fall, my wife likes to do spring cleaning and fall cleaning. I mean, where you get down and you move the furniture and do the baseboards and do the windows and things along that, just the extra things that you don't do every week. At least we don't in our house. Maybe you might have time to do all that, but we try to do it once or twice a year. And sometimes a good spring cleaning is good for God's house. Diotrephes was undoubtedly a power-hungry leader. And we know that by the arrogance that Diotrephes displayed, the attacks that he delivered, and the authority that he dismissed being subject to God himself. And I hope and pray that you never act like a Diotrephes. And I trust that you'll never allow Satan to use you in that manner to defy the authority of God he has placed over you inside the confines of the local New Testament church just so you can have your way. We find that Paul says, "He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Well, Diotrephes, a man who was power hungry, a good man to learn about, but not a good man to emulate. Let's pray. Father, we